and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 525. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Justin, how many Skylanders do I own?
All of them.
Okay, then why the hell is it the last time I was hanging out with you and your son, and I bring all of my Skylanders to your house, and I set them all out, and we said something about the Giants, and you said, "Oh, but you don't have all the Giants already, do you?" I about fell out of my own skull. How many times does a guy have to say that he owns all the Skylanders before you believe that he owns all... Name a Skylander, I've got him.
What you're saying, though, is that you have the Giants as well.
Yes, they're Skylanders.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I come from a world of hyperbole. And so sometimes when people say all, they mean, you know, most. So when you were saying all, I was really hearing
so
most.
You thought I was a liar, an exaggerator,
right,
a reviler.
And I'd known there was some duplicates, so I thought maybe you had the total number, but, you know,
sans
the duplicates.
What I don't have, they have alternates of existing characters. Yeah. So like they do.
Oh, so you don't have them all.
No, I have every Skylander there is.
But you don't have the alternates?
I don't have the alternates.
Oh, okay.
But I have every character.
So you want to go back and take this episode again from the beginning so you don't come up jumping up my butt about something that I said?
The Giants.
Huh?
I have all
You don't
the
come into my dojo.
You know why I can't? Because I have 54 Skylanders.
Right. And from my understanding, that 54. Is almost all of them. That is, including alternates, there are 63. Is that correct?
Oh, no. There's something like, if you counted every single print and like one-off that they did or special. Like,
they have one-offs?
Oh, yeah.
There's only one of this Skylander.
Like 100 of the Skylanders.
Your E3 Silver Spire.
There's maybe, I don't know how many of those. There's a few thousand of those.
Yeah.
But the employees got their employee-only Skylander.
So, see, again now. See, now we're finding nothing but loopholes in your frustration and anger. You
because
don't have
are,
the ones that only the employees.
It'd be like if I
Last
said...
Last time I checked, it is not on your IMDb that you... worked on Toys for Bob. It is that you're on Whose Life Is This or whatever film.
If there is a character with a unique set of skills, I own that Skylander.
Right.
Every one of them.
But I think
Genie got it.
I think we got to go back to your original statement
that
you
impressive.
Were angry at me.
Yes.
And so I'm listening.
No, because you said you don't have all the Giants. I have all the Giants.
Okay. Fair enough.
All eight of them.
Fair enough. But the whole basis of what you're saying, why you were frustrated with me for asking, because it was this layperson's understanding.
Yeah.
I am not a port master, a portal master either.
I didn't know what you meant the first time.
I don't do importing and exporting, and I don't rescue elements from chaos. I do neither. Okay.
How far are you in the game?
I think we're 52% in.
So what was the last, how many elements
we're,
did
we're
you?
Just, I think we did one of the tree things.
Okay. Did you play any of the other things that I got
Spoilers.
You?
Spoilers.
Oh, no. I got you the four playsets. Did you need to do any of those? The Ghostlight?
I think Jacob tried it but couldn't figure it out.
The Ghostlight one goes for $100 on eBay. That's the one.
Wow.
It's $100 first generation.
Just to have a map. Is what that
well,
is.
It's another level.
Yeah.
It comes with another character who's a really powerful character and two power-ups. They don't make power-ups anymore.
Yeah, but you got them, bro.
See, thank you. That's
Listen.
The sort of validation I need.
So,
I have spent enough on Skylanders to buy a Wii U and a Wii.
Are you happy with your investment thus far?
Very.
Should be.
I play them far more than I ever would Mario Galaxy
Should
2.
Should be.
Thanks.
Because here's my point. I didn't know that that you had even had a chance to purchase all of the Giants because it was so new to this guy.
Yeah.
We can have a discussion about your level of investment in Skylanders and my misunderstanding of that.
Okay.
But I think that both of us, all of us listening included.
Yeah.
To walk away from this conversation feeling okay, like we all could sleep at night.
Yeah.
I think that we just need to agree that you do not have all of the Skylanders.
I disagree.
We can agree to disagree that you have all of the Skylander Giants, As long as there were no giants only for employees?
No, there are
You mean to tell me that you think that you have the same number of Skylanders that Bob himself has? That's who they made these for, it's my understanding.
No.
They made this all for this guy, Bob.
I didn't understand what you meant. When I say I have a complete set of the Skylanders, that would be the best way to say it. I do not have every single Skylander that has ever been manufactured.
Okay.
No one
Enough
does.
Said.
Not even Toys for Bob.
Let's get out of this awkwardness, and let's talk Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah, that's a good example. Like, they kept doing series reprints, but you had one of every Cabbage Patch doll, or whatever, Garbage Pail Kid, you had enough.
I had the whole thing. This is why I bring it up, because this is where I realized I do not have the collector gene.
Yeah.
Is that I loved everything about Garbage Pail Kids. I thought they were funny, they were inappropriate.
Yeah.
I was like, this is awesome.
Decapitating babies.
Yeah, I would look through those again and again as a... now, mind you, they came out probably when I was in third grade.
Yeah,
third or fourth. Does that sound right?
Yep.
So I had a job when I was in fourth grade, and I would buy packs and have, like, I had 15. And then I went to the local card shop where they just had boxes of them. So for probably, I'm guessing, don't quote me on this number, but for $80, I bought the entire complete collection of Garbage Pail Kids. And I said,
First series?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I bought them all. So I had everything that had been released. They had them in boxes and everything. And
that's impressive.
I'll take all those. And I paid my money because I thought I was a kingpin because I made $400 a month as a 10-year-old.
It's great money.
So I get home. I stuck them in my drawer. I looked at some of them. Once I looked through all of them, I had no desire to have them anymore.
What'd you do with them?
They're probably gone someplace. Ruined. I hope not. But
I really would hate to look on eBay right now and tell you what that collection was.
I think
you.
I did. I don't think they're that much. I think it's worth a Google while we're sitting here chatting. And
next question, not related to this topic at all. What is our mail address, our P.O. box?
It is P.O. Box 11192, Burbank, California, 91510.
Great. I think we should mention that at the beginning of each show. I get questions all the time.
Uh-huh.
Where can I send fan mail? Blah, 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 fan mail. Here's the thing. If you want to send us anything, we'll gladly take whatever you send us.
Yeah.
If you want something back, self-addressed,
it is
stamped envelope in your package. Don't send us something and then expect us to mail it back because, dude, that costs us money. And if you send us a bunch of crap, some people send us really nice stuff that's very heavy. And if we had to send everybody's back, I'll be doing a part-time job just to send you back your fan mail.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to do whatever. But you got to put a self-addressed stamped envelope in there. Oh, which reminds me, Brooke has wrote us something.
Oh, long time no hear from. Oh, I didn't have it on here. I thought I had it on here. I'll put it up on the website. I could have swore that it was on. What's this? Oh, yeah, that's gone. I got to pull that down. I got to fix that. Man, I apologize.
Brooke is out in Canada, so she did not have, she couldn't put any self-addressed stamped envelopes.
Oh, it is up there.
How much?
So here's the thing.
Oh, good. It's there.
Because people could be listening to this in the year 2087, and we could have decided to upgrade to a larger P.O. box because most of the stuff that you guys send us doesn't fit in the letter-sized P.O. box, and that's why if we don't get to it in time, then it goes, return to sender, address unknown, except if it's in the corner. But if you click, go to GaberlandPodcast.com and you click on email us, there's a link for emails, and then there's also... Our P.O. box will be listed there as well. Okay? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so Brooke sent us a very nice note and wants us to sign her thing. Oh, so it was her birthday on April 20th.
Happy birthday!
Might have missed that.
Yeah, 420, lady.
For her friend Kelly. Sorry, Kelly. We will sign this and send it off to you. But she sent her collection, the PS3.
Is it supposed to be... Collection. Oh, is it supposed to be a surprise for Kelly, and we're blowing the surprise? I got to be honest.
No.
Brooke's letter writing is horrible. How did you get that she has a PS3 Collector's Edition Sly Cooper she wants signed out of?
It's just lines.
That's Japanese person speaking gibberish to me.
I just decide what it says.
Oh.
Please fold it.
Like a magic eye or an eight ball?
I think. Oh, this is not Brooke. This is somebody else.
Aww.
I already sent that back. I don't know.
Well
where Brooke's
done,
note
somebody else.
Please hold.
Oh, you're looking for Brooke's letter. So we did get a letter for Brooke, but it was not for Brooke's friend Kelly. Brooke, do me a favor. Apologize to your non-friend Kelly for us, if you could please. That was from Jacqueline, who we did that. But that Jacqueline did that like months and months and months ago. Jacqueline was the one that we took like 18 months to get her her autograph thing for her friend's birthday. And I think Jacqueline had even moved by the time I mailed that back to her, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody had moved, so by the time I sent something back to us. As you can see, we have lots of interns.
I found it.
We have producers galore.
I have multiple piles. Okay, so this one is
Have you recently gone to the PO Box?
I've gone a couple times, yeah. If I don't go, the box gets full,
yeah,
and then they send it back,
yeah.
and then I get angry letters on Facebook. Don't send me angry letters. It's just, can we just make that a rule?
Yeah,
I'm not an A grade celebrity. So,
well, here's what we need to do. We could do this where we could make it a premium podcast. This is one of my favorite podcasts, the Never Not Funny podcast.
I like Rainbow.
He revokes people's subscription. So if you piss him off, he goes, I'm going to cancel your subscription. You can no longer listen to the show.
It should be free. It's a free show, but if you piss me off, I delete it so you can't listen to it. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, to Justin and Kevin, this is from Brooke. She is, see, here's her $5 she sent us.
She sent us $5?
Because she's in Canada, so she couldn't send us self-addressed. She couldn't put stamps on it. So we have to buy the stamps for her.
Oh, thanks, Brooke. That was really
She wrote Kat a little note. That's very sweet. She says, hi, I have dedicated to go on the old-fashioned route and handwrite you guys a letter.
What?
I really don't know what to write other than, Kevin, I have included my Sly 4 sleeve for signing. Justin, I couldn't print off anything good quality for you to sign, but I don't know if you would be able to sign one of those cool promo headshots you give out at your shows. Do you even have those? Am I crazy?
I have postcards and I have headshots. I'll send you one of each.
Oh, that's great. That's cool. I also hope she responded to you. That's weird. She even had a little space for you.
It's like that new Fox pilot, the Goodwin games.
I also hope I'm not enough money for postage. Canadian doesn't have U.S. stamps. I bet if you looked hard. If there's some left over, you get yourself something nice. Like a lollipop, I don't know, maybe a garbage pail kid.
Yeah, complete
and then she
collection.
Drew. Oh, she drew a smiley face and had to write wink next to it. Anyways, this has gone on long enough. I hope you're doing well, Kevin. Say hi to Kat and Quinn for me. The coolest lady gamer. P.S. wrote something for Kat too. There it is. So we'll send that out to you, Brooke.
Probably in a year, I'm guessing.
Seriously, there was that thing for Jackie. I believe was sent in 2012, and I sent it. On May 1st, 2013. So she still got it around her friend's birthday, just like a year later.
Yeah, so I just did a Google search. Take a guess. Garbage Pail Kids, brand new Series 02 complete set.
Series 2 complete set?
Yeah, how much? 146 out of 146 plus wrapper, great price. What do you think?
What's the condition of the set? Are they in a book? Are they in their packages? Are they in sleeves?
They're not in sleeves. They're all laid out in the picture that they have here.
And they're not in individual sleeves?
Yeah.
$75.
No.
Higher or lower?
Lower.
$40.
No.
$20?
No.
Really?
$17.99.
Oh, wow. Okay, but that's Series 2.
Yeah. Well, that's what was my next
thing. I
bet
I can get these on the internet.
Like you just buy them? Well, they're remaking them too. So,
because nothing's more popular than Cabbage Patch dolls.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what Natalie was joking is that you could buy the packs at Target. She goes, "Did you see they have Garbage Pail Kids? I thought
that's
of you
awesome.
When I saw that."
Hey,
Series 1 set.
Yeah.
Let's do the box because I think I had Series 1 and Series 2 each in the box. Series 1 hobby box set sealed 24 packs. So the complete set. A box of, like, sealed still in the packages is $70. But I think that's the only thing I could find that has, like, the 2012 Garbage Pail Kids Series 1 Hobby sealed. Yeah, the 2012.
That's the 2012.
Those are $50-$60. But the old original. Vintage 1985. Oh, here we go. Vintage 1985 Topps Garbage Pail Kids Series 1 display box of 47 packs. So it's not, the packs are unopened, and it's just like what they would
as
ship
if,
to the store. How much do you think that's going for?
24 packs?
47 packs.
Oh, I don't know.
$50. $120.
Oh, wow. That's good.
But they do not have, I can't find anything with it that says the complete set, like just opened, because it came in like a big box, like you would keep your baseball cards in.
Right,
and
right,
it had
right,
all
right.
of
it's
them
all
in
that.
There.
What are you doing right now?
I'm looking at eBay. For
Let's go to the entertainment center.
Entertainment center. That's
Kevin's TV turning on.
What? That's a week old reference. What are you playing?
I just finished Mass Effect 3.
Oh, they made a third one?
They made a third one.
That's an old game, because I got that when E3 botched their SimCity thing. That was one of the six games that they had available for free.
Yeah.
Through EA Barfin.
Did you play it at all? Do you like it?
I have not played it. Okay. I played through halfway through the first one. I really, really love so many elements of that game. The unlateral or the non-linear gameplay.
Yeah.
The character development is just fantastic. The performances, the science fiction universe is really well thought out and doesn't take explaining.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, things come fully formed. They're not kind of like dabbling
there's
with
not
that.
A ton of exposition or anything.
Yeah,
like, you don't
like,
feel like
it just goes.
I just spent 2 hours learning what everybody is.
Yeah, there's like an alien that talks and you pick it up. You're like, oh, he says the emotion that he means to inflect it with, and they don't say it. It's
flabbergasted.
Like, yeah, exactly. Oh, it's so great.
And then you need to go to there. Annoyed.
What the wall I ran into in that game is that it became too challenging. Like, I couldn't level my character up enough. Coupled with, I just felt like a little like Skyrim in that it feels a little like RPG-ish in that I'm spending a lot of time going back to the home base and running around, getting lost in this big open mall in space, and I don't know where I'm like. Just
they
let me do
refine
the story.
That as the games go on.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that I can jump in later and not be like, I didn't play. Like, if I play Mass Effect 3, will I be like, what?
No. Well, here's the thing. I played Mass Effect 1 and 2, and then there were elements that I'm like, I taste like I should know exactly why this is happening, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things that, like, I think we've talked about is that with these franchise games, that sometimes because it takes so many man hours to build a new game, that it's like sitting down and watching every season of Lost all back to back to back is a much better viewing experience than to watch them as they come out each week.
Right, right.
So there's those kinds of elements to the game, but I think it's a. As I mean, I'm saying the obvious, but that it's a solid game that's fun to play. I think you would really like it because it seems kind of Star Trek-esque. Like,
oh,
I feel
very
like,
much so.
Yeah,
that's how Christian, our buddy who was on last week, described it. Is that it's like every time he plays it, it feels like an episode of Star Trek.
Yes, I would agree with that. And that one of the things that I thought was really interesting in this particular series. So once you're about 80% into the story, there's always some kind of weird placement of love. Like, all of a sudden you have the opportunity to tell someone that you love them. And usually there's three or four women that you can choose from or whatever. But in Mass Effect 3, there are, and don't quote me on this, but I think at least three options for women and one dude, which I thought was really interesting because you can also play as a female character.
Exactly. The other way, because I've seen that video on YouTube where if you play as the women lead,
you could fall in love with a woman.
And you make out with them and everything, and all they did was replace the character with which is fascinating.
Yeah. And I thought that might be a thing that you could just choose, but there's a character who is openly gay in the game. He's the guy that works down in where the shuttles come and go, and he talks about his husband and how he was killed in the attacks on Earth and how sad he is. And then I thought was funny to me. Not funny because it's...
That his husband died?
No, not funny that he's lost his husband or that he's gay. What I thought was funny was that the way that they introduced the possibility of a homosexual relationship in a game, which is one of the first, I'm sure it's not the first, but one of the first that I've experienced, is that the way you start this relationship is picking up on some dude while he's on the rebound. his life partner had just been killed in an attack that you're trying to thwart, and so you come in playing like the swarthy hero of like, well, you know, I'm about to save planet Earth. And I can keep you safe, too. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, wow, easy there.
I noticed that Mass Effect 3 had Earth in it. Has it always taken place in our universe? It's not like
it's our galaxy.
Battlestar or... So they are humans. They're humans from Earth. They're not like Star Wars where they're humans from...
No.
I don't... Where?
It takes place... What it is it takes place in a time frame where we have found a way to explore the entire galaxy.
And we found neighbors.
Yeah. And so there's like the far rim is at the edge of the galaxy.
Oh, that's fun.
And there's a species that lives out there. And
I gotta play this game.
Yeah, it's. I think you'd really, really dig it.
I'm not going to stall it while we're talking right now.
All right.
It's happening.
I would do the. I would play one and two. And the nice thing is...
Oh, I have to play the other ones? You already did. I mean, it's right here. I just downloaded
it. Oh, you bought it as... You got
no,
it
I got
like,
it for free. Yeah. So I borrowed the first game, and the buddy I was borrowing from took it back.
I think you... honestly, I think you might enjoy playing the first and the second
one. All right, I'll finish the first one. Do you have the first one?
No, I don't keep anything, bro.
I need that.
I was angry at myself that I that's an inside joke. I was angry at myself that I still found out I had Hitman Absolution, even though I'd kind of lost interest in it. I was like, I could have sold
it. I noticed that you had that. I thought you loved it or something.
I do like that. It's always Hitman for me is a weird experience because I'm always, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating this on the show, but I'm always like, yeah, I love this idea of like there's a very slow, calculated aspect to it that's kind of mixed with action. And this game, they really nailed the mixture. Mm. But I just, once I do a couple levels, I'm like, yeah. And it's unfair. It's completely unfair to these people that made this, but.
Well, that, you know, I've been playing Gears of War 2 for about 5 years, and I'll pick it up for about an hour, play a mission. I think I'm on the final boss.
Oh.
I'm not sure. But I love it when I play it. Every time I'm like, this is so cool. And then I'm just like, so much grindy, gore, yelly, shouty action. I'm gonna play Skylanders.
I love the only thing that made me follow with Gears of War is just the look. I love
everything. It's gorgeous.
I thought it was funny how everything moves slow and clunky and everything like that.
It's like
that,
moving a
it
train.
It took me forever to realize that, but I just love the design of it and everything.
Yeah, it's pretty
great. So anyway, so I finished Mass Effect 3.
So if I play Mass Effect, like I have it on the Xbox, I played it halfway through the Xbox. If my preferred console of choice is the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
But my character won't port over, like my experience.
No.
Does it matter? Because you play Infamous 2.
No, it doesn't matter.
And it's like,
I couldn't figure out if I still had like my XP and stuff like that from the second game.
Not.
I don't think I did because it would just be such an unfair advantage.
At the most, it would probably unlock an achievement, right?
Yeah. You're
like, hey, you own
well,
two
what
of
it,
these
no,
now.
What it does remember is that there's, you know, like most of these, you know, choose your own adventure-esque games is that there are multiple endings. It's like an Infamous. So it's like Infamous in that it remembers your choices from the previous game. So that on that aspect, if you really want to develop the character through the the course of a trilogy, then I would suggest that you play them all on the same console you want to end it with. But you have Mass Effect 3 on the PC.
That's what I'm saying. So it wouldn't matter. And that one was free. But, I can...
By the time you get to them, they'll probably be $10.
No, that's true.
Mass Effect 1 on PS. I think they even have like the first two on the same disc for like a collector's edition type.
Because one of the games I'm currently playing is this little known indie game called Arkham City, Batman Arkham City.
Yeah,
and that's...
I just wish those guys could get off their feet because they got that Batman license, and you'd think they could do something with it.
Make
but
it
just...
a little bigger, something that would.
I mean,
get
it's
some
a
attention.
Really solid game. I mean, award winning worthy.
Yeah,
but if anybody could just find out about this thing.
You heard it here first.
If they gave nearly as many commercials to that as they did have Injustice, I mean, honestly,
that'd be fair. The thing
you don't
I enjoy
see
about
commercials
that...
for 8-year-old video games anymore.
That game's still... not 8 years old. It's like three. The thing that
video game years, it's 8 years old.
The thing, you know, not having known a ton about it, except for I think at one point you said it was supposed to be Grand Theft Auto meets Batman, but not quite there.
Yeah.
That's how that was kind of your
Arkham
elevator
City,
pitch.
Right?
Yeah. And so I saw these side missions pop up, and I kind of avoided them for a while, and I was like, well, I'm right here, so I'll hit it. And then both of those side missions launched other villains. I was like, oh, well, that's cool, because that's what I felt was really, I think it's important to the comic book universe to remember that, like, it's one hero versus dozens of villains. Mm-hmm. And that's very, like, a lot of comic books will lean into that, like, it's one against a dozen, and it's... For a game like Arkham City, it would kind of felt like chapters in a book of like now it's Croc and now it was Bane and then it's the Ivy level and blah 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 blah. But to then instead like he has multiple storylines.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, there's a main storyline of the Joker.
Yeah, that's going through
and Harlequin, and then there's these ancillary side missions
like,
that are all the other
you
villains.
Got,
all of the it's my understanding that in Arkham City, all of the Batman villains are represented in these side missions
at some point.
Yes,
yeah, that's cool. Is Bookworm in there?
I think so.
Is King Tut?
Ooh, I want to say yes, but I remember Bookworm because I'm like,
really?
Are we digging this deep? I don't even know who this guy is.
Is Clayface in it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That
all
I know.
Right. I like him. That's as good as I get.
Yeah.
Is Calendar Man in it? Oh, no, come on.
I really think so. Hold on.
What?
I really, because there were a bunch of them that I don't know, and I remember Bookworm, because I'm like, really? Like, this guy has to be from, like, 1946. Like, who comes up with Bookworm, man? And I remember Calendar Man, too. Like, I remember those names, and there's no other reason for me to know those names other than because I played those. The only ones I didn't finish as far as the side mission is concerned is... the Riddler Calum. Ones.
And that is, do you actually get to meet the Riddler, or is all that just go around and collect crap?
I didn't finish it, so I think you might get
And that's
something.
A wonderful villain. I hope we see more of him in the third.
So like, we have, so, let's see. That can't be a complete list. Other villains, as comprehensive as this list of characters is, Rocksteady and WB Games could easily add more. There are rumors, yeah, okay, so this is an old post. There are rumors Calendar Man could appear somewhere over the course of the game, and Black Mask, the Rat Catcher, and Maxi Zeus could also stop by to raise some havoc as well. Scarecrow could easily show up again, which I'm almost positive he's in that one. Bane, I know, is in there, because I remember playing that mission. But this time around, it could be helping Batman during certain situations, which is negative. So how old is this?
Scarecrow is definitely, that must have been before the game's out. Yeah. Scarecrow's in the first 20 minutes of the game.
I can't see a date posted for this thing, but it's just something that I did on a Google search. But yeah, I want to say that if maybe you don't meet Calendar Man, but there's at least like a little, almost like a Riddler-esque like type thing that Lovely. You do for him. I can't remember.
Well, I can't wait to play
But there's
more.
Tons of guys in there that I can't remember. Whether or not, if you want, I will hit pause and find out. But
no,
I think
no,
most
no.
Of our
Let's
listeners
move on.
Are
what
yelling.
Are you playing? We got other. We got.
So I moved
to talk
on
about.
To Tomb Raider, yeah. And it was interesting for anybody who follows me on the bird sounds that you. I put on there as soon as I got the game. I found it used at GameStop because I still was finishing up a gift card that my wife had got me for my birthday, and the GameStop has that.
She stopped trying. Yeah. You know that's what that means.
That's what gift
she
cards
She identifies. That it's something you like, but doesn't want to take the time to actually find out what you want to play.
Yeah. Well, she knows that usually if I want it, I'm just going to get it as soon as I want it.
Yeah,
and that's so
that's true.
What she told me when she gave it to me. She goes, this way, at least I helped.
My wife, even though we were on a spending freeze, went to the store and bought Skylanders Giants.
Aww.
Because she knew it's what I wanted.
Yeah.
She made my Christmas.
Well done.
And then she gave me a baby.
Yeah.
In
and
that
ruined
order.
That Christmas.
Ruined it. I couldn't play this stupid game.
Yeah, it wouldn't Go shut on. Up. Anyway, So I bought the game, and they have that 7-day return policy where you could just, you could literally, if you could finish the game fast enough, you could beat it and then return it and essentially
Couldn't
get a free game.
Play it for a little while, return it, buy it a week later, play it for 7 days, return it. Essentially treat it like a library.
I think you might have to go to different
GameStops
and like rotate through, but yeah, I think that's definitely something that could be, I found a comprehensive list of, villains from Arkham City.
Oh, good.
Do you care?
Calendar Man is all I want to know.
He's on there. Cameo only.
That's incredible.
Black Mask is a cameo in story mode. So
is
here they are.
Is Superman in it?
No.
Okay, that's my other question is that does it seem like they're going to introduce other DC Universe characters?
No, the heroes. They had a list. The heroes.
Is the Court of Owls in it?
It
Court of Owls came out after.
Oh, okay. The game. I was going to say Alfred Pennyworth, Commissioner Gordon, Talia al Ghul, the Gotham City Police Department, Jack Ryder, Oracle, Vicky Vale, Aaron Crash, William North, Eddie Burlow, and Annie Bishop and Azrael.
Yeah. That all right, what are those?
Those are all the good guys.
Ah, yes.
So the villains include the Joker, Harley Quinn, Dr. Hugo Strange, Ra's al
Wait, wait. Is this Yeah, go on. I just didn't want to spoil it, but go on.
Ra's al Ghul, Talia al Ghul, Mr. Freeze, the Penguin, Two-Face, the Riddler, Victor Zsasz, Bane, Clayface, Poison Ivy, Solomon Grundy, Deadshot, Mad Hatter, Hush, Killer Croc, Black Mask, Calendar Man, Titan Henchman, Abramovici Twins, Mr. Hammer and Sickle, Scarface, Deathstroke, and Kano. But yeah,
did you say Two-Face?
I did say Two-Face, yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah. All so right. Anyway, so I went and I purchased this Tomb Raider used, and I was like, man, this would be so cool if this was a game that I could return because I wanted God of War 2. I was kind of on the fence between God of War Ascension, I should say. And I tweeted, I'm like, man, gone are the days where I could buy a used game at GameStop and not finish it. And I thought I did. And finish it. I go, stupid kids, stupid life, or whatever I think is what I put. I use that hashtag. stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm
in with the in crowd.
Yeah.
So anyway, I finished the game. I could have done it even earlier, but I finished the game on Tuesday. Forgot I bought it on Monday. This is why I love GameStop. The guy, I go down there. I said, hey, listen, I don't have the receipt. I go, I just want to return. He's like, well, here's the thing. I could look it up. He goes, but all I could give you is in-store credit. I go, that's fine. So then he's like, all right. And he looks it up, and I see him look at his watch, and I'm like, is he really going to find out if I bought it at, like, 3 p.m.
Right,
like, that's the 7 days they go by?
Yeah.
But it was because I was a day later. He gave it to me anyway, gave me an in-store credit, and I got God of War.
Ah, nice.
That Tomb Raider game, gosh, do I love those kinds of games. God, it
so
is...
you beat it, love it, return it.
Oh, yeah. It was tempting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was tempting for me to go back, because there's, like, optional tombs that you could go through, but I kind of got the gist of what they were doing with the tombs, because this is a prequel to all of... This is supposedly how her story starts.
Why she's afraid of snakes. No, that's
Indy. So they explain, like, how she... like, and so there's these little mini tombs. The whole thing doesn't take place in tombs at all. And so there's these mini tombs that you could raid, you know, and you check it off, it says tomb raided.
Nice.
Which I thought was cool. But just, it was really gruesome, really dark, but the graphics were just gorgeous, and the gameplay was just, oh man, it was just a ton of fun to play, and the whole time I'm playing, I'm like, man, do I love these, like, Uncharted, I guess they're called adventure games is the genre just a huge fan of. So I finished it, loved the story, loved everything about it, very well acted. To go back, because you were talking about how Mass Effect 3 was well acted, I've noticed something is that I think they're getting more and more kind of celebrities in these Mass Effect games as the games become more and more popular. And what's interesting is that then the main guy becomes the least well-performed, like I was
right.
Shepard is like, we got to go do these things over here.
Right.
Listen, if that's what you want to do, I'll do it. Like that's the kind of vibe that he's creating, but these other people are, like, really emoting. And I was trying to figure out, like, I'm like, does he have to be this guy because he's always the perspective of the character and they don't want to jerk you out of the emotional experience
you're currently in? I think there's a little bit of that, yeah.
Like, he has to maintain a level of neutrality.
Yeah.
But then it's funny to watch a guy who's kind of a little stoic, but then the minute a girl, like, rubs up against him and you decide to hit up and to the right and X, then all of a sudden he's like, I need you. I need you badly. You know, then all of a sudden he's got
it's
some
like
emotion.
Like a robot porn. Well,
but
done.
Yeah. So those were fun, and I'm excited to start playing God of War Ascension.
Oh, and
that's a new God of War.
Current gen.
That's the PlayStation, the new one that just came out like a month or two ago.
Is that on my PS Vita?
No, it is not on your PS Vita, but there is one that there's two. I played the Chains of Olympus on Vita, which is an old PSP game, and I tried to get the other one. But it kept giving me an error, but I want to buy that other one. I like those God of War games, and I'm really excited. Coming up on June 14th, I finally saw something that showed up that I thought was interesting on Amazon and haven't seen anything really about it, but it seemed to be something that was like very like kind of almost Independence Day-esque marketed, where it's like, we're not telling you really what's going on here. All we're going to say is it's called The Last of Us. And I'm excited for that game,
which I think is
like a zombie game, which I think might not be up your alley. But
yeah, I'll call in sick the day you review that.
While I was at GameStop, I'm excited too about Grand Theft Auto 5.
That looks pretty fun.
They had some really cool ideas that their little people on their TV station that they have. they're literally midgets.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. they so condescending. So they talked about how you don't play as one character, that you actually play from the perspective of a group, like three people.
That's great.
And you kind of follow each of their stories.
There's some other games that did that. What was the one where you were a detective and...
Heavy Rain?
Yes.
Yeah. Follow these guys and they kind of, I guess, build like a crime gang kind of thing. And one of the things I thought that was cool about it is that evidently what Rockstar is trying to do this is that they're trying to say that much like we revolutionize games with the sandbox mentality, we're not just making the best Grand Theft Auto game. We're trying to make the best new game.
That's
like,
cool.
I guess they're kicking down the sides of the sandbox. They're getting a scooper and getting all the cat poop out of there.
Nice.
And they're like,
new sandbox.
Yeah. Turning it into an island. Yeah. they're gonna go to Kauai for this thing. I don't know. I'm
what
excited
else is
about
out there?
It as all.
Yeah, and that makes me hopeful that maybe since they're doing Grand Theft 5, that maybe they would consider doing Red Dead 2.
Ooh, that would be fun.
I could really use another Red Dead. Sometimes I'll just pick that up and
lend my Red Dead Redemption to somebody, And then I did not get it back.
Who was
And
that
I have
person?
Not finished The Undead Nightmare. And I just now realized that. So now I'm going to have to go purchase it again.
That's ridiculous.
I got to buy that. I got to buy Assassin's Creed because I bought the DLC hoping that I could just play. Nope, got to have the game.
Yeah, of course.
And then I just bought a new the Citadel DLC because I've got the Mass Effect 3 listed on eBay. So I have
what
until this
Red
Saturday
Dead
to play it.
What do you need Red Dead on?
Undead Nightmare.
No, you have it on the PlayStation?
Yeah.
Take my copy.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Not right now because I got to finish Mass Effect 3. In case you decide to pick it up after this
conversation. We've got to finish this podcast.
Before somebody buys it on eBay.
No! We had two other random things that we wanted to discuss. The Office and, yeah, that was sad. It's over now.
Yeah, I was wondering. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed their, like, kind of... They're like, this is the story, like the interview and talking documentary, I guess, beforehand. Did you like all that? I was curious what your thoughts were.
Well, my concern about halfway through was, I go, how in the world are people, when they're in the auditorium there and they're asking them questions like, Pam, what did you think when he was giving you the note? I was like, how in the world did you see any of that? Because that was the night, that same day the documentary premiered.
No.
So then they explained later that it was a series. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I missed that detail or whatever.
Well, they also said that it takes place 18 months later.
No. They were recalling events that from the previous episode, which had really been, you know, last week, but it was supposedly a year earlier.
Yes.
So in the auditorium, they're referring to events that happened in the last episode we watched. In the reality of that episode, Pam and Jim have this fight. They resolve the fight, drive from there to the bar, and watch the documentary. So these fans are asking them questions from events that happened 1 hour before they watched the documentary. And then I found it was supposed to be a series. So it'd be like the idea of The Bachelor, of like them still, or Survivor, like still shooting the show
while the show is still running. A documentary movie as opposed to the suit. Now
exactly. Yeah. So that's what I was missing there. Which I was like, wait, is this how we're ending this? A show with phenomenal continuity is now going to like just forget about all of those sort of rules of reality.
Time travel. We're good.
What? And then they said it was a series. You know, the only thing that has haunted me since watching it is that, damn it, I want more Michael Scott. And, you know, I love Steve Carell. I have a lot of respect for him. But, you know, and he was him that pushed. Obviously, he wanted to leave the show before the show's run was out. All the respect in the world to him. I think what he did in the last season of his time on there was fantastic, of how he left the show. And he stated that if he came back, he wanted it would not be... He didn't want to undo the work that he did in the last season there in that last episode. But I feel like, look, we got to know who... Like, the show is you. Like, it was your show for 7 years, and I care as an audience member about what you've been doing.
You don't think they wrapped that up enough, though?
I don't think he got enough screen time. And I know that's all Steve Carell saying, like, I want to come. I want to celebrate the end of it. It makes sense for the further arc. But quite frankly, I mean, I have not said... all the time the show hasn't had him
but
on
But he had, like... Three just solid, perfect lines in that thing.
And that's it. He said he had two lines. He said two things on camera. He said one thing. He said, that's what she said.
Yeah.
And then he said, it's like all my kids have grown up and married each other. It's every parent's dream. Yeah. That's all he said. 12 words. I didn't count them.
But that's so great.
That's it. That's all he said. And then he was on camera earlier, and Pam did the overview about it. So that's it. Three moments with him. And the whole time I'm just like, what? Look, I have not said, like, the show is terrible. It doesn't work without him. I thought the show did very well without him. But I've had dreams since he's been off the show of him coming back. Like, he's this buddy of mine that has left us here. And it made it clear to me of, like, how much we've been missing not having him there, which only makes sense. I mean, it was built around him for 7 years. So,
well, it's so funny because I remember finding out about the British version, but... Did I show that to you? Or okay.
So for me, it's a very personal thing because we would watch the British one when we still live up in the Bay Area. I moved down to Los Angeles and the American version premiered at the same time.
And I remember watching Steve Carell as a guest on Jimmy Kimmel when it was launching and going, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
And him going, I know, it's stupid. It's totally stupid. Just a big bonehead move.
And now 9 years
later.
Exactly.
And then that's why I liked in that little special they did where they said that...
Oh, I didn't get to see that.
At one point, he was coming out... Oh, okay. So at one point, they had Ricky Gervais was commenting on what the show's been and all this stuff and telling little snippets and anecdotes. And one of them was he was coming out of someplace signing autographs and somebody's like, who is that guy? He's like, oh, he played Steve Carell on the British version of The Office. He goes, that's when I knew it was a show on its own. Like, that's at its own legs or
that's
whatever.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, I was like, that's funny.
I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was a good arc. And, you know, those first three, four seasons, first five, really, but those first three were, like, kind of sang my heart song. I cared very much about the growth of Jim and Pam, not in their relationship with each other, but what they the themes they were playing about of dreams versus reality and desires versus complicity and they did such a that was the whole premise, and eventually they, you know, it kind of takes this bend and goes into romance, and I feel like this last season did a really good job of taking that same theme and playing it back into reality of, like, you know, in the context of a marriage, what are your hopes and what are your desires and are you good at communicating that and do you really support each other, will you resent me, all these. I thought as now as a married person, it's really great for me because I kind of grew up, went through that same stage of life with these characters at the same time. So I thought it was great.
So your only complaint is Michael Scott. You wish
I just
was...
want. I mean, I seriously was like, can we
so
have a
easy? I
can
was
we
so
have
happy.
A spinoff with just Steve Carell? Like, I want to see what Steve is doing in Arizona. I want to see what Michael Scott is doing in Arizona with Holly. But
I think that he became a magician or something. Isn't that, like, wasn't that him? That
maybe
was him.
Yeah.
He did that with Bert that, Wonderstorm. That guy.
Nothing to do with games. So I mentioned this on the Gamerland podcast Facebook page because last week we talked all about the Xbox tech specs, but I had this crazy idea that just occurred to me. We have not seen the actual PlayStation 4, so I thought, what would revolutionize things is if the PlayStation 4 is the TV.
What?
Which is so funny because it really goes...
I just hope it's backwards compatible.
Right. Which really goes...
Like, can I watch my old TV shows on my new TV?
Which is a terrible idea because 30 years ago, that's what the thought was, is that, you know, IBM thought... And Mac did it, where it's like if you sell a unit, it's all one inclusive. And so now we learned that you can separate these and you can choose and pick and pull. So it'd be kind of weird. I only say it because I think that Apple, they've made it pretty clear without saying what they're doing. It's funny that Microsoft is building this extremely important multimedia center in the middle of your room. Because Apple, their true nemesis, not Sony, not Nintendo, is clearly working on something in the television industry within the next 18 months. We can assume they'll
be
launching
something. Well, he said that on 60 Minutes. Did you see that?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm referring to. All but said, we're doing something. I mean, he said it. He said, that's a very interesting market for us to go into. Makes sense because they've dabbled in it. They work great with screens and technology. We've seen things. But it's and they kind of have been silent in this area, especially with Microsoft making these leaps and bounds with Windows Glass and all this stuff and making it cross-platform. They're like, sure, own an Apple, but you're going to watch it on a Microsoft device. Like, really big, bold moves. And so... I'll be interested to see what Apple does, and it'll be a TV, right? It'll be something in the middle of the room that does something. But if this sort of arms race between Microsoft and Apple happens within the middle of our living rooms, that would be a real crazy move, and Sony could pull it off because they make decent televisions now. So whereas Apple and Microsoft were going to have to develop that technology or work with Samsung or work with somebody to get the screen. Sony's like, we've already got solid TVs that you already bought.
Right, but so I agree, but I think what then the challenge would be for them is, that, like what you said, it's a separate piece. So if my TV goes out, I got to buy a new game console and TV?
I don't know.
Or if my game if the drive breaks, then I got to buy a whole new TV too?
I don't know. I'm sure it's complicated. I hadn't thought through it. Yeah. All I'm saying is that the technology is not impossible.
Well, I think
because we got smart TVs now, right? You can play Angry Birds on your television with the right remote control. So Sony's doing that much already. So then to say, here's how we can protect the PlayStation brand in a market where we're not sure whether or not dedicated video game consoles are the future. Let's dump this into the TV.
I think what they could do is they could make it just as integrated as the Xbox One and add to it the fact that it will also control your TV. Like, because here's an interesting thought that I just had is that I wonder how difficult it's going to be for your Xbox One. Like, say you want to turn the volume up, you're going to need a remote for that. But everything right. else, you could use your Xbox One. But what I, from what you're describing, I bet you that a PlayStation 4, you could control every aspect of your TV
mm-hmm. yeah.
all through your PlayStation if they went, if they decided to go the same route. I think it's in PlayStation's best interest to almost play the angle of like, listen, we're for gamers. This is what this right. is what we do. We're only going to play games, and we're going to have movies and TVs. But you guys, these guys are busy trying to control your TV. What we're trying to do is make better games.
That might be true, but we've seen that PlayStation is really carved out a solid corner of the market by saying we are the number one Netflix-ready device. Mm-hmm. We came with a Blu-ray-enabled thing.
Their
we have a movie studio.
Their Netflix interface is 10,000 times better than TiVo's, yeah. and TiVo's just finally caught up, but it's still a little clunky compared mm-hmm. to the... I played it once when I was on the road. I got my Netflix on here. I'll check out a movie on Netflix on my PlayStation. I was like... Oh my God, this is so much better. This is so much easier.
You know who has the worst is Windows 8. Seriously, you go to search and it brings up the search menu for apps on your entire computer.
Yikes.
it needs some help. So it was a little more sandboxy conversation. Let's dive deeper into the sandbox.
Oh, it's in my toes.
Toes.
Kick down the walls, Grand Theft Auto.
So Justin and I were discussing, we discovered a kind of an awesome parallel between Madden and the nerds Madden mm-hmm. that is out there. Of course,
you discovered, really. I can't take any credit
yeah,
for
sure.
This.
Well, whatever. We're a team.
Yeah.
What you do, I do. We should get pretzels.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so good.
I wish I had some right now. That would be the role that I would have to have. Whatever
right
you
back.
Do, I do.
You talk. I'll be back. No. I'll go make some soft pretzels. Oh, okay. Dough.
Why did he take the microphone with him?
Flour with salt, mustard.
They're not even baked and you're putting mustard in them.
I'm just going to put these in the blender. Oh, I gotta get back to the show. Hey, I made you this smoothie.
Is this mustard? It tastes delicious.
You're welcome.
Salt and flour. Who would have thought? Not an ounce of fruit in here.
Not at all. No. You are juicing with powder.
Oh, wow. So lucky with my simple carbohydrates.
The first time I went to talk, I wanted to say the Jews made it, and I didn't know why. Oh, it's because dough is, okay, unleavened bread. There. Sometimes you don't know why the brain fires neurons, yeah. and you're like, where are we?
You are welcome.
I got to go.
Yeah.
yeah, so we enjoyed an awesome draft.
Yes.
It was just the most fun I've ever had.
Yes.
2 hours of watching a computer trade within itself.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I think if you're a hardcore, what we're talking about is our Madden League that we're doing that you could join. It's called the SFP Fun League on the Madden PS3
couple of good
version.
Teams left.
And you can SFP.
Yeah, I haven't nerd raged about how I lost Tom Brady
yeah.
in my team. I think he's going to come back later because I read a thing that says that players will retire.
Yes,
and then
Kurt Warner's in our league right now for $9 million
ridiculous.
For a year.
I
or
offered
two.
Him $100,000.
Just to laugh
just
at him.
Just to do it.
But yeah, so I like that element of it because it makes me, it brings me into the experience a little bit more because I played and I've always played Madden, not like you would a sports game. I play it like you would play another any other game.
Hmm.
Is that I get wrapped up in the world and the reality of it and I love that aspect that's doing it's doing that, and I think it's fun and all that stuff. I didn't enjoy the draft for an entirely different reason because I'm trying to buy a house and everything. And
yeah,
we were
waiting 30 minutes, and we finally get to a play. You and I are the last two picks in the league because we were in the Super Bowl, and I finally pick. And then you pause the game. I had people texting me, "What's happening?
Hey, why?
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 Did
Justin
you break the game
everyone?
By picking?
Yeah. And that's yeah. Anyway, that's by the way, that's the angriest I've easily been in my entire life within the last, I'm guessing, 5 years. I don't know. This is all spitball, but I've never been that
angry. In my entire life of the past 5 years.
Well, I feel
one
like
month of which I
I'm
had,
trying to
I
remember a time
week.
Where I've been angrier, and I can't, but I think it might be unfair because I'm not known for my memory, I guess is what I'm saying.
That sucks. I'm sorry you're having such a rough time.
That's all right.
In the middle of our draft. It was draft
day. It's such a hard
day.
Thing to buy a house. I hate complaining about it. Anyway, but yeah, so you brought it up just before we turned on the microphones. So we went through this draft. We built our teams, and then we're starting all over again. And you pointed out that you've been playing Magic the Gathering, but the video game, not just the card game, but it is card-based, and that you build your deck much like you would build an NFL franchise.
Yeah.
And then you take it out on the road.
Well, the thing that's exciting about it, I'm really glad our buddy Christian, who was on it last week, told we used to all play Magic, the real card game, for fun. And then he said, you need to get the PC game. It's available on the PlayStation, the Xbox. It's available on the iPad. And I was like, no, I'm okay. And he's like, I'll get it for you. So, and it was on sale for $5 or whatever. And I probably didn't play it for 4 months. And then randomly, for whatever reason, I was like, oh, I'll play this stupid game that he got me. And the downside of this, so what I think is an interesting parallel between Madden and Magic is that they make a new game every year, and they pull out it's an existing game outside of the video game, football versus Magic. It has its own set of rules, and then the game does something to highlight an aspect of the real game. So like Madden 13, they talk about it's all about the pass play right now. Mm-hmm. And so this year's Madden, it's all about this one storyline thing. So they really focus on a certain type of deck and a certain type of cards. And so
when you said this year's Magic, it's all about the storyline. That's what you said.
Yeah.
You said Madden.
Oh, I said Madden twice. Sorry. Yeah. So this year's Magic, it's all about that. What's exciting is that, so then every year they kind of release a different thing. And Magic has, I couldn't even guess, tens of thousands of cards in its 15 years, 20 years of experience. They just release cards every year in the real world. And so the games just draw on that library of cards and highlight certain ones and not other ones, which is nice, especially if you're not, if you don't want to get into the real card game. The video game makes a lot more sense because it's much more balanced. And so if you find some buddies that play Magic, if they're kids that have been playing it since the beginning or since Series 5 or whatever, they have cards that they no longer print because they're so difficult. And they have spent probably thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars on decks that are just impossible to beat. So it's like not fun. But then they play it in the video game. It's balanced and everything. But the thing that the previous iterations of the video game Planeswalker has missed is the ability to do deck building. So what they give you instead is a deck, and then you unlock more cards for that particular deck. And so that's it. You don't get to design a style or a way to play. It was really sad. And it's missing my favorite characters, the Slivers. I just love them. they're so great. So in the game of Magic, you have creatures that you summon, and you summon an elephant, and it has this certain power and toughness and can do this thing. And you summon a lion, and it can do this stuff. You summon a bird. You summon a wall. But in Slivers, they all share abilities. So if you lay down a Sliver and it has the ability to fly, every other Sliver, whether no matter what it says or what color it also gets to fly. If you put down a thing that says add +1/+1 to every Sliver character that you put. So, and it doesn't matter if you're playing Slivers, Justin, and I'm playing Slivers, we share because they all, so it's not just my world, it's our world together.
So when you play something to help your Slivers, it also helps mine.
Exactly. So if we were both playing a Sliver deck, it gets like out of control.
Like a weird game of tic-tac-toe.
Exactly. But what's great, so what's fun about the real world version of it is I'd always play a Sliver deck, and I'd meet these friends that didn't play Slivers or whatever. And then just like anything, like an arms race or like a real war, you begin to figure out tactics to beat each other. So I'd have friends that would just include Slivers in their deck just so that if I built this crazy Sliver army, they're like, okay, I've got a guy that can block this, and it's added within there. So that's a fun element of it. So what's exciting about the 2014 Magic is that both of those things will be included. Slivers.
They're not calling it Magic 25?
I think they are. Yeah. I think they are. Slivers are going to be in it, finally. And now there's a deck building campaign mode where you buy, not using real money, you unlock booster packs. So you get like two booster packs, and then you build the deck, and then you play the campaign and get more booster packs. So what's great about it to balance it out is that you don't buy more booster packs like you do in the real world, where if I'm just willing to lay down hundreds of dollars, I can get enough random park packs until I get the common.
What I want.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, you can only buy slots to build your decks in. You still have to play the campaign with them. So you get two build your own deck slots in it, and you play through the campaign, and you can unlock 6 or 8 booster packs. And it's still
and
just
then within those two deck slots, you can build a deck, and then when you start a game, you could pick which deck you
want to
play.
And then you and I could play using one of the. And then I can unlock, if I kind of like this one or I want to try my luck again, I can unlock more booster packs or unlock more slots to build more decks.
See, that makes me think that it would be so much more, I guess, profitable for them if they let you just buy it from within the game.
Yeah, I have a feeling there's a reason why, and my guess is that they don't want to compete with themselves. Mm. They don't want people to choose the video game over the card game. They want to offer two different experiences that aren't the same thing. I can just play the digital version of this game.
Like comic books.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen that. There have been other iterations of Magic the Gathering, and you'd buy, like,
Yeah, there was a card-based game. That was the one that our friend Christian's wife was a voice actor.
No, that was a weird, like...
not really Magic the Gathering card game?
It wasn't a card game, but it was like a kind of real-time strategy.
Yeah, it was called
variation.
Magic the Gathering, and it was based within the world, right? But they didn't take all the elements of the game,
It wasn't the card game at all. Yeah. It was like playing Plants vs. Zombies with magic cards.
Okay.
Like it was you have a wave and you try to create and you create a wave of stuff that would come at each other. It had almost nothing to do with it. When I first heard about the game, I was like, how cool would it be if it was first-person shooter spellcaster and you ran around, open up lands, and slap down guys? Well, whatever. That game doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So I just think it's funny that they even call it the Madden for Nerds. Magic is the Madden of Nerds because you can get so into it. And it's about strategy. And just like Madden, where, like, you just like the game of football. Like, I played a preseason game in our league. It means nothing. Just because it was like, I feel like playing a game of football.
Mm-hmm.
Magic, you play campaigns in other games, and once you beat a level, unless you really like the story or really like the particular mission, like in the Sly Cooper games or something, maybe you go back and play that one particular mission. I will go back and tweak my deck and play other parts of the campaign again just because I like the game of Magic and I want to take that game on again.
Yeah, and I really think I'm curious to see what I wish that we had more listeners that would be like, "Oh yeah, sure, I'll buy the game and just to play the league because
Madden or Magic."
Madden. Just because I feel like even if you're not into football, there's a lot of gaming elements within the game that would be fun and entertaining to do. I mean, obviously, of course, it helps. If you like football and have an understanding of the strategy and everything like that, you're just going to be that much better at it. But I just to think that it's completely null and void of fun. I don't know.
Well, I was very pleased because playing Madden, I was very frustrated. I had to come over to you. Like the first time I played it, I was like almost broke my TV throwing the remote at it, the controller. Which was my body, because I was using the Kinect. No. not true. And then, I've gotten better. You got me that book, which helped a lot. We had a couple of labs. We'll probably do some more. And then towards the end, I think I played played something towards the end. Or after the Super Bowl, I played a game where I changed the clock to 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I'm just going to play this game out, and I'm going to really experiment with defense, and I got much better because there was nothing at stake, and I was like, well, I'll just try to figure it out. And now, so I picked it up after we didn't get to play it for a while because we've been in postseason, and then I played this preseason game, and it was like, oh, I understand so much more. And just in the short months that we played the game, my understanding of football is twice as good as it's ever been. And I've been a fan of football for 10 years or 12 years now. And so just in those few months of playing it, getting in and really trying to learn it through this video game, I have a higher appreciation for the sport than I ever have.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like I'm beat this subject to death, but I
think Magic's pretty great. You should play it with us.
I do. Well, and that's the thing.
Do you have Steam on that Mac?
No.
Do they not put Steam on
it? I think that'll break it. I mean, it has no wrinkles.
Fair enough.
But I played the card game, and I enjoyed it. I like the
Steam in your Mac.
You asked if I had it in there.
It's a software
huh?
from Valve. I don't think Steam.
Oh, it's like an ironing app?
Yes.
They have to have that.
While
right?
we've been talking, I downloaded Windows Glass, so I'm going to control my Xbox from here.
Guess what else happened, Kevin? We have a minute left.
Oh, no, we have so much more to discuss.
Yeah, I know. Do you want to highlight those? I think we should do that video.
Yeah. Oh, all this other stuff. We were going to talk about some stuff in the news feed and go behind the controller, but I think we've killed it. I think we've had a pretty solid show. So
yeah. Do you want to at least give that dude's video a
shout-out? Oh, yeah, we can
out?
Say the URL for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why did I lose it? That sucks. Let me see.
Closed it. So a while back ago, before Sly Cooper Thieves in Time was more than a twinkle in our eyes, we had the whole cast of Sly. Well, not the whole cast. We had Matt Olson and Chris Murphy on the show with us, and we improvised a couple of scenes, and one of which was the Sly and the gang robbing KFC.
Did you close it? Because I'm having a hard time finding it.
I probably can pull it up. And, you know, there's been a couple of people that have animated, but we saw today that someone animated a really sweet version of it. If you go to the YouTube, if you search for Sly Cooper and the Gang Rob KFC-Animation- and it's by XXAUSSIEXXX.
Aussie X.
They published it back on January 21st, 2013, and it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. They did a little editing of our little sketch and kind of tightened it up, and I believe it's a he. He did a pretty good job. It's pretty fun. I recommend it. We'll post it on the Gamerland podcast as well.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Speaking of things and videos, if you haven't seen, I have a YouTube channel now.
Oh.
Kind of promoting, because I realize I have a lot of irons in the social media fire.
Okay.
Between our podcast here, the transition from SFP to Gamerland, the work I'm doing on I Want Sly Cooper in his own animated series, blah, blah, blah. So if you want to chat with me, I have a unidirectional video chat on YouTube. You can send us an email at show@gamerlandpodcast.com. And I can, I'll answer your questions on my video chat.
I like it. That's a smart idea,
right?
That's
I'll like have that. You on sometime.
I could be a guest on our
usually
on
like,
our YouTube podcast.
They're like 3 minutes long.
Okay. I love it.
Pretty short.
We can do one right after this.
Done.
Send us an email to show@gamerlandpodcast.com, or you could follow us on Twitter @GamerlandPod. Find us on the Book of Faces at facebook.com/GamerlandPodcast. But the big thing that we're all pushing is the facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series. As I am saying, we're going to Betty White this bitch.
Yes.
And we're going to make it happen, Captain. And I think that's it. So on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying,
okay, bye.